Now's the Time, episode 47. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to another episode of Now's the Time, and this is a special episode because I am bringing in a very special guest, my wife, Christina, and we're going to be talking about furlough. And the reason that I decided to do this, well, for a couple of reasons. One was because recently I did a podcast survey, and there were a couple of you that said, hey, you should bring Christina in more often on the podcast. And so I am. I'm doing that as a result of what some of you guys have said in the podcast survey. And another reason is because a number of people wanted to hear a little bit more about ministry and things that have to do with that. This kind of relates more to ministry and our lives as missionaries. So it's a little bit unusual in that sense, but I do hope you'll enjoy it. And just to let you know, we actually recorded this at a cafe. We recorded it yesterday, and it was just the only chance that we had to just kind of sit down and record something. We're kind of on sort of a little date, kind of getting away from the kids, something we hadn't done in a long time, which I recommend you do, especially if you have five kids at home and you're homeschooling, and for the sanity of yourself and your spouse to do that. So anyway, we got away and we recorded it, so you'll notice that the audio is a little bit different, you'll notice the difference in the audio because we were just recording it in a cafe while we were drinking some coffee. Now, quickly, just a couple of news items about Ukraine. First of all, this past Saturday was one of the most deadly attacks, and it happened in the city of Mariupol. Mariupol is a Ukrainian-controlled city, and it looks like what happened was the Russian-backed separatist shot Grad missiles right into the town. And it's a town of 500,000 people, so it's highly populated. And the reports that I've heard so far, this happened Saturday morning, the 24th, 30 people have died and about 100 injured. And so this is really getting Ukrainians' attention and hopefully getting the world's attention to say, listen, this is a real war here. We are fighting the Russian army. And so I really appreciate your prayers this week. If you listen to this within a day or two of me posting it, just pray for Ukraine and pray for Mariupol. It is evident that Russian-backed forces are trying to get to the Crimea. And if they get through Mariupol, they probably will get to Crimea because there's not much to stop them after that. So really, I do ask that you make this a time of prayer for Ukraine. If you are not getting our updates by email, I suggest you do that. The easiest way to do that is to go to succofamily.org/prayer. succofamily.org/pray. And there is a form there to just quickly put in your email and your name. Because I do send out some updates, like I sent one out just yesterday about what happened in Mariupol that I don't put on my blog. And so if you want to get access to those, I highly recommend that you just go to succofamily.org, pray, and put in your email there, and you'll automatically be on that list. Plus, you'll get a few other things, some exclusive video and things from me as well. So it's a great way to stay in touch and be in prayer for Ukraine. I know a lot of people ask what they can do to help. Okay, let's get to this interview. So right now, we're going to be talking with Christina, and we're going to be talking about furlough, and especially dealing with kids on furlough. Here we go. Let me ask you what you think. Like, sometimes people say, well, you went on vacation to the States. How do you respond to that when people say, oh, you went on vacation in the States?
I would say that they cannot be farther from the truth. Because to me, it is actually more relaxing in many ways to be here in Ukraine, in my own home, or rather than going to the States, uprooting your whole family, because we're not just going for several months. Like we could have gone in the summer just for several months. There's no school. You don't have to haul any of that stuff with you. But it's just, it's going for an extended period of time, having all of the children's schooling with you, making sure that you bring clothes for all the seasons of the year, and knowing that you will have to travel from place to place, and it just adds so much more stress to a missionary family life.
So there were certain parts of furlough you found stressful, I think?
Well, definitely. Especially the most stressful parts for me were those when the children had to be in school and we had to travel, and we had to leave some of our children at home with Caleb's mom and dad, and some of our children went with us. Those who were less responsible in making sure that their schoolwork was done went with us. And it was difficult to coordinate, making sure that everybody got their schoolwork done, did it well, didn't skip anything, and just very stressful time, and especially with travel.
So, what do you think are some advice that you would give to other missionary families that maybe are getting ready to go on their first furlough that might help them to navigate their furlough and get through it?
I would probably give them my first and biggest advice would be to plan your furlough with consideration of the schooling that your children will have to do, making sure that it works well with your family. Give yourself time to transition. So work within that schedule. Just say, we started school in August. We started school early because we knew we were going on furlough in October. And I knew that I wanted to give us some time to pack and then give us some time once we arrive to get over our jet lag. So I gave us 2 weeks. So I planned my schooling in a way that it allowed the kids to have those 2 weeks of break. And that really helped. It just really helped us to be sane, to make that transition. So my advice is to go ahead and look at your schedule, make sure you plan well, communicate with your churches. Don't schedule your churches right away. I would not recommend to schedule churches.
You mean don't
right away.
So you don't have to immediately go to a
that's
meeting
right.
Once you get there, right?
Yes, that's what I meant.
And I know that when we got back to the States in our last furlough, we did pretty much immediately go to a meeting. But on the other hand, we scheduled a church that wanted us for the whole month, and they didn't require us to like speak at every meeting. And I kind of felt like that was actually nice that we were able to be with them, because I think out of that month, like on Sunday morning, I spoke maybe twice or something.
Well, I really like that too, because it does get tiresome to constantly have to speak. Every Sunday, you're the keynote speaker. And sometimes a missionary just wants to get to know the people in the church that supports them. Missionaries want to be fed too, and so it was a great idea that we just sat there and listened in and kind of felt a part of that church family, and we're thankful for that.
And I think that's probably one of the advice that I would give to missionaries going furlough too, is don't plan to speak on every Sunday, because I mean, I know that's my temptation, because I always feel like, okay, our time in the States is limited, let's get a speaking engagement every single Sunday, and then, I mean, inevitably, we would have another few speaking engagements during the week too, to whatever, if it's an Awana club or a youth group or some sort of a conference or something like that. So, but I know that definitely those breaks were pretty well needed in there,
yeah.
And especially early on when we. First started, I mean, when we had first come to the States.
Yeah, well, certainly, if you have, say, 50 supporting churches, and you have 50 Sundays, you may not have much of a choice.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't have 50 supporting churches. I think it's rare that missionaries have 50, although there are some, but right now we have, I can't remember.
20.
I think we have 20. But then, of course, like, we visited a few churches that are not regular supporting churches, but maybe churches that have shown some interest or have given, you know, special gifts from time to time, stuff like that, too. So we, and then we did also like a missions conference in Idaho where it's kind of a, they call it a round robin, where we have one supporting church there, but then we spoke in another four or five churches that are not supporting. But again, some of those churches too have some individuals that might support us. So
it's just a good exposure for you as a missionary to the Christian community in that area. Especially if there is already a supporting church in the area, and the likelihood of you picking up more support from there is pretty great if you speak at one of these conferences.
Right. So I think, let's see, so last year, well, we started our furlough actually in fall of 2013. So we were still in the States for 2014, then we came back in August. So it was a 10-month furlough.
Yes.
Which we actually felt was like a very long time to be, well, I mean, like to be away from Ukraine.
Yes, that's true.
Even though I know a lot of missionaries do one-year furloughs, and that's almost 1 year. But that seemed like quite a long time for us to be in Ukraine. But talk a little bit about homeschooling, because I think sometimes, too, there can be the conception that, the understanding that, you homeschool your kids, so it's not very hard for you to travel around the country and go to all these, you know, different churches in different states and travel long distances. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it, first of all, depends on the parents' understanding of what they want their children to receive schooling-wise, what kind of education they want their children to have. And for us, we decided that it is important for our children to get a good education, and so we enrolled in a program that is accredited. Well, that means that I supervise the children's education, but I am responsible to send in all the tests and all their work to the office of that school, and they're considered to be enrolled in that school. So it was very important for me to make sure that they get their work done, get quality work done, and then send it on to the academy where they're studying. So that's why I had to be very diligent, and it was a bit of a stressful situation for me. Now, some other parents, they are, I guess, more relaxed on their children's education, and they're not enrolling their children in an accredited program. It's not that high on their list of priorities, and so, and maybe it's not that important for them. Okay, well, if they don't get that covered this year, that's fine. We'll just get it covered next year. Well, our program had more of a rigid borderlines there, so I couldn't really just be so
free. But I mean definitely homeschool, one of the reasons we chose homeschooling was because it does give us some more flexibility.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, as far as traveling goes, it can be very difficult to travel because you every child has a whole big stack of books.
Well, just for record, we packed over 70 pounds of school books with us. So that's just the books that the kids needed, the books that I needed as a home supervisor. And you can imagine that out of all the luggage that we're allowed to bring, almost two bags just were stuffed with just school books.
Yeah, 70 pounds, because they only allow 50 pounds per bag.
Yeah, so really, that is
more than a bag and a half.
That is a lot. Yeah. That is a lot of school books. However, having our children in homeschool allowed us, like I already mentioned, at one point we left two of our children at Caleb's parents' home, And then we took three other ones with us to Idaho.
When we took the trip to Idaho, yeah, yes. 3 weeks.
And for 3 weeks, we had lived in this very small house, but we were able to, every day the children, the two girls were able to study. We made sure that they went on with their schoolwork, and that worked really well for us. That they were not skipping any school, yeah. They were continuing with it, and we supervised.
And the older two kids were just on their own to study. On their own. They were with grandma and grandpa.
The older two children were in ninth grade and sixth grade, and then they're very responsible when it comes to their schoolwork. So we were not nearly as worried about them not being on track with schoolwork as the other two girls.
What about coming back to you? Let's say, before we came back to Ukraine, was there anything that you did to kind of prepare the kids to come back, or any suggestions that you have as far as when missionaries come to the end of their furlough, how they can make that go smooth so it's not a huge... it is going to be abrupt and a huge change no matter what you do, but I think there's certain things you can do to kind of smooth that or lessen it a little bit, make it easier for the kids and the family.
Well, first of all, I would recommend to start packing early. Make sure that you get your bags ready and have a general list of things that you're going to need to bring back. Now, because we came in the fall and lived in the States through the winter and spring, in the summer, obviously, we didn't need to have all of our winter clothes having to haul them back with us. So what we did, we just packed several boxes, big boxes with those clothes, and we just sent them to ourselves in Ukraine. And it takes about 2 months for these boxes to arrive, so we sent them about 2 months before we had to leave. And so actually, by the time we got back, we got those boxes, which was actually very nice. So that really helped us to reduce the number of bags that we were taking back with us.
So if you can ship stuff that you don't need right away,
just ship it. Yes. Yeah. And for instance, I keep our children's school materials from previous years, so I did not want to haul it with me, obviously, so I shipped it all to us in Ukraine. So it was much cheaper than to pay for an extra suitcase full of stuff. One thing that I did was, and that's, I would say that's kind of a luxury for me. We stayed with Caleb's parents, and they have a big garage that doesn't have a car in it. It's just an empty garage. So I was able to lay a rug out, and I lined the bags around the rug. And so I had kind of a staging area. And so whatever needed to be taken with us in the bags, we brought it out to the garage. Whatever we could pack and send, we packed right there next to it in the boxes, and it was shipped right before we left. So it was a good thing that we started packing early. 2 weeks is a very good time to start thinking about your packing. And another thing that I would suggest is to have something fun that your kids could look forward to when they come back.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And you can share what we're planning.
Well, another thing too I was going to say is, the last 2 weeks that we were in the States, we did not plan any ministry stuff, basically, right?
Yes, we were.
We wanted to be in our home church, we wanted to be with our family, and so the last 2 weeks, and maybe that sounds like a lot of time, but inevitably there's stuff that sneaks in there.
It went by very fast.
Yeah, and it goes by fast. So mm-hmm. and we did do some family things. We had my sister there from Ukraine, and then my brother came up from California for a few days and stuff.
So the whole family was together for the first time in many years.
Yeah, many years until that happens again.
Yes.
So I think that was very wise to plan that last 2 weeks, just no ministry, just time to be with family, time to pack also, and so that you don't just get to this crunch and just a really stressful. Honestly. We did a lot of family things and stuff, but I didn't feel like it was just super crazy those last 2 weeks. I felt like, we were able to spend that time well. I don't know, you felt like it was super crazy. It was just kind of crazy because there were so many people there, I guess.
I think it was hard for us because we came back 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave to come back to Ukraine. We just came back from a very long, month-long trip around the country. We drove from the West Coast to the East Coast and back, and we were very tired.
We were tired, kind of
physically and emotionally drained, and so we really didn't feel like traveling very much. So, I mean, unfortunately, often when the family wanted to do things, I didn't feel like going because I just came back from a long trip. I didn't feel like driving for another hour to get
like
somewhere.
Like 10,000 miles.
So that was a little challenging, but it was just wonderful to sometimes just sit at home, visit with relatives that you have not seen. Maybe we met our little nephew for the first time at that time, and maybe we'll not see them again for another 3 or who knows, even more years. So
what you were saying about planning something fun too, and I think, I mean, every family is different and every child is different too. And so what we kind of think of is that when we go back to the States, I mean, in general, our kids look forward to that because that's the time with grandma and grandpa and all that. And then we'll come back to Ukraine. You know, sometimes there can be a little bit of like, oh, we got to go back to Ukraine. It's kind of like back to normal life, you know, school and
friends
and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, our kids, I think they're, I mean, they weren't like upset that we're going to Ukraine or anything.
Our son was actually very excited because those were the only friends that he had.
But still, it's a big change in their life. So we scheduled it so that after we came back to Ukraine, we got back mid-August, right?
Yes.
And then in mid-October, we had this trip planned to Hungary for our missions conference that they do once every 2 years. And that's a really big thing that all the missionary kids look forward to, because they usually do it at a place that has some kind of fun attractions, and it's like a 5-day conference, and they get to see their missionary kid friends and all of that. So that was an attraction, and I think it just helped, you know, morally and everything to make that transition. So we got back, and yeah, I think our kids were happy to be back. And
well, we were able to also tuck in a little vacation on the end of that trip, and I think that was really a fun part too, since I think that was the first real vacation we took as a family.
Well, and the other thing too is that when we were in the States, we often did that too. When we visited churches that were far away, if there was something interesting to see or something nearby, we'd take a day or 2 days, sometimes a couple of days. And like when we were down in California on our way back up, we went through the Redwoods, went for a hike in the Redwoods, and then we spent, was it 1 or 2 nights at the on the Oregon coast. And so we kind of tried to incorporate some of those things in, because, you know, it can, when you're hauling your kids around like that, it can really be tiresome, and they need that sort of
respite.
Yeah, that rest and kind of fun time just as much as we do sometimes. So I think that helped them to kind of look forward to the traveling too. Otherwise, you can get really burned out on the traveling.
Yeah, and certainly when we went across the country, you know, we tried to see, we wanted to really see the Statue of Liberty. I know it was kind of a very hectic trip because, like, we went to Ellis Island. It would be very fun to stop at every exhibit and look and read and learn. There's so much history in it. But we had little kids with us. We had our friends, and they had little kids, and so it's just hard to keep them interested all the time. So obviously it was a bit of a gallop through the museum. Yeah. But we got to see those things, and it's almost a once in a lifetime opportunity for our children, maybe for some of them, to be able to see these places. And so grateful to be able to do that. Now, another thing that I would recommend to the missionaries is to see if you're able to secure a vehicle for yourself before you even get home on furlough. Like, say you know that you're leaving on the 15th of October. See if maybe you can work out something with your parents or your good friends on the other end to buy you a vehicle. You know, can be used vehicle. It doesn't have to be anything luxurious.
I think most of the time it is a used vehicle with missionary life.
But
99.9% of the time.
But I can not say enough good things about the van that Caleb's mom and dad bought for us, and we asked them to get the vehicle for us, and then we paid them back. But that vehicle was just a wonderful blessing for us. We were able to drive up and down the West Coast and across the country from west to east and back, and it held very well, and it was just a wonderful
So you recommend a Toyota Sienna?
Yes, I do recommend. size of ours, that's a perfect vehicle.
It was a little tight for our family.
Well, since we're used to kind of a larger vehicle.
But it held together. We didn't have any major mechanical issues. I think we spent a couple $100 to fix something. I can't figure out what it was. But it wasn't a real big deal. So, yeah, praise the Lord that, because we put like 20,000, something like that, 20,000 miles on it, I think, in 10 months.
I have another suggestion that just came to my mind. And I know that applies to my family because we have 5 children. And if any of you out there have 3 children and more, usually missionaries with their income are considered to be below poverty level. And so state offers all kinds of assistance to those missionaries. And
well, it depends on what state you're in.
Yeah, but say we're in the state of Washington. So state of Washington offers health insurance, free health insurance, or very low cost state health insurance to needy families. That's what we're called. And so I know that even though we do have health insurance, we have a very high deductible. And whenever we go to the States, we have several health issues that our children have to be checked. And so it's important for me to have health coverage, not as much for myself or for Caleb, but for the children. So when we get not only our regular insurance that is provided by a mission, but also we are receiving our state health insurance, we're able to actually not even have to pay anything for our children's health care, which is amazing. And I think it's a great blessing. And I think even though it means paperwork, I think you should really look into that, because that will definitely help you. It will help you save money, because what I found in the States, we drive a lot more, and a lot more money goes to pay for gas. And so we don't have this extra money that, say, we don't drive nearly as much here, so we have a bit of extra money then. So try to, if you can get that free health insurance, then try to take advantage of it. Just make sure you go for checkups. And last time we were in the States, 3 of our children had adenoids taken out, and 1 child had ear surgery. And I didn't want them to have it done here, because I'm just a little bit mistrusting of the doctors and the procedures here, and some of the procedures they don't even do. So that was my one of my emphases, to make sure that the children got their health checked out.
And it seemed like we were going to the doctor all the time, at least the first month or two.
Well, but, that was yeah. that.
But
was
we did. It's true. We kind of put off a lot of.
And I had 2 surgeries too.
Yeah.
And because the state insurance paid the deductible, then I did not have to pay deductible for when I had my surgery done with my insurance. So, I mean, that was definitely a blessing. I mean, I got basically a free surgery. So I highly recommend check in with your state. If your state has to offer something, some sort of assistance, and be wise in that.
Okay, so maybe you can just give a couple prayers. Well, I guess this podcast is going to be about family, since maybe we're talking about how to survive furlough with family, right?
Yes.
So maybe you can just give a couple of prayer requests, like in regards to the family, how people can be praying for our family.
Just pray for us as parents. I would say that it's important for us to be wise parents and good examples in how we live our lives. Are we spending time in the Word? Do we live by the Word? Are we presenting our children a good example in just our attitudes? And And we need that. And often we can be, you know, all exhausted and frustrated with things that are outside of our family, and then just, you know, come home and then have a not so pleasant talk with our children because we're frustrated. So just pray for us to have wisdom and patience and love and understanding, and pray for our children too as they get back into the swing of things here in Ukraine. They do have their own...
After the holidays?
After the holidays. Yeah. Well, the thing is, we had a lot of ministry going on over the holidays, and especially our older children, they were involved in a day camp, Christmas day camp, and they were involved in all kinds of Christmas programs, and our daughter is helping in Sunday school, so it was... and she's also doing English club, and so it was a lot of hectic running about. And keep in mind that our schooling schedule is, and we'll pretty much go through the holidays. We have a few days off, but we try to keep at it. And so not only did they have to do school, they also had to do those ministry activities. And so just pray that they would have a good attitude towards schooling, that it would fall into its sort of routine, that they would be able to continue with it, and just pray that they would continue to be healthy, because definitely these health problems that could crop up, they hinder them from doing school, and then it makes it difficult to manage the family.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have any prayer requests?
No, I'll just let you give your prayer request today, since I always get to give prayer requests. But I know that I had a couple people ask for you to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
So we'll see. We'll see what kind of response they give, and if they like listening to this kind of a conversation, then maybe they can just put a comment in, and I can have. I don't know. Would you do this again with me sometime?
Sure. Sounds like fun.
Kind of nice talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're my wife. And
yeah, and since it ended up being kind of a date.
Yeah, we are on a date right now. And so we're just sitting in a little cafe. I had a caramel cappuccino. What did you have?
I just had a regular cappuccino.
And regular cappuccino. And some cake.
Yeah.
So finally,
without cake.
Got away from the kids for a little bit, and probably need to get back pretty soon and see what damage they've caused to the house. But I don't think they have. They're pretty good kids.
Okay. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening.
All right, friends. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Christina. And in fact, I hope it was also, you know, somewhat useful. Maybe you're not a missionary, but hopefully it was useful in helping you understand a little bit more of missionary life. Maybe your church has missionaries. I want to remind you that I did write a post just recently called 37 Ways to Serve Your Missionaries Better. I'll put a link to that in the show notes for this show, because I think that many churches really want to serve their missionaries, but sometimes they just don't know what to do. And so that might be helpful also. If you would like to hear more from Christina, do me a favor. Go onto the show notes for this episode, which is episode 47, which means you go to sukofamily.org/47 and leave me a comment. Tell me, hey, I love to hear Christina, want to hear her more. Or, you know, Caleb, that really wasn't that interesting or wasn't that helpful. Why don't you try to do something else if you don't want to hear? But, you know, judging from the comments, I think we can tell if you guys want to hear more of this kind of dialogue or not. So please go to sukofamily.org/47. Leave me a note in the comments. All right, friends, please continue to pray for Ukraine. We are at war, and we're not just at war politically. We are at war spiritually. We appreciate your prayers, and we need them. Don't give up. Don't stop. Let those prayers keep coming. Thanks, friends. Till next time. Blessings.